Australia will soon start shipping domestically produced AstraZeneca vaccine to Papua New Guinea and Timor-Leste, which are both battling major outbreaks of COVID-19. 10,000 shots a week will be distributed and will scale up over time to also include Fiji, Vanuatu and Solomon Islands in this rollout. This all comes as the Morrison government gives up on setting any target for our own vaccine rollout here in Australia after it was advised against giving AstraZeneca to people aged under 50 due to concerns about blood clotting. The government's now conceding that some Australians may not receive their first coronavirus shot until next year. Zed Sajelja is the Minister for International Development and the Pacific. Minister, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
I'll come to the Pacific in a moment, but first to what's happening here at home. And the Prime Minister last night dumped the October target for dispensing the first vaccine shot to all. He says no new target will be set. Does that mean the government basically has no idea when all Australians who want to be vaccinated will get vaccinated?
No, and thanks for having me on, Fran. What the Prime Minister has outlined is that obviously with the changes to advice when it comes to AstraZeneca that we received recently last week and that we've responded to, that obviously that has an impact on the rollout. We have rolled out, over 1.1 million Australians have now been vaccinated, and we're seeing that ramping up. But obviously with the particular advice that came in on the AstraZeneca, as it applies to under 50s, not being recommended for under 50s now, that obviously impacts the rollout. But what we anticipate is that we will see the rollout of vaccines ramping up as it is. It will continue to ramp up, and obviously some of those timeframes will continue to be recalibrated as we get access to doses.
But Minister, we don't have any timeframes. That's what the Prime Minister told us last night. Without a target, without a timeframe, how will the rest of us know if the rollout's on track?
Well, I'm just having a bit of issue with the volume there, Fran.
I'm sorry. We don't, as I understood the Prime Minister's comments last night, we don't have timeframes now. We don't have targets. So without that, how will all of us know if the rollout's on track?
Well, what we'll know is that we've already seen over 1.1 million, and there will be updated advice as we go through, as we get access to further information. But there, we've contracted between the various options for vaccines around 170 million for Australia. So we have made provision
for Australians. Yes, but most of those can't go to the bulk of Australians. The AstraZeneca, which is the bulk of that, can't go to the bulk of Australians, the under 50s?
Well, there's a number, and of course we saw an extra 20 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine that was committed to last week as well. So we've seen a variety of different types of vaccines that can be delivered. Obviously, the advice that we received last week does have to cause some recalibration as to the timing, but what we're going to see, as we've seen in other countries, and I'd just make this point that if we looked to the early phases of the rollout of many other comparable countries, places like Germany, Canada, Sweden, France, and many others, we have seen more doses delivered in Australia than was in those comparable countries, and they had obviously very different circumstances in terms of the rate of COVID, but we've seen over a million already administered. That will continue to ramp up. And in terms of when we see every Australian who wants the dose having one, obviously we'll be seeking to do that absolutely as soon as we can. And we'll see that roll out in the coming months.
But do you agree it's clear now it won't be by the end of the year?
Well, I think what's clear is that as we've had to recalibrate, we can't commit to an October timeframe at the moment, but the government with our health authorities will continue to work very, very hard to deliver it. And where we are in terms of the very low rates of COVID that we've seen in recent months in Australia, the strong way that we've been able to handle it, we have been in a very different position from many other countries. We will continue to ramp up that rollout.
Well, that's one message. I mean, that might be a fair enough message, that there's not a crisis here. So actually, you know, we can perhaps be a little less concerned about how quickly we get vaccinated. But that hasn't been the message. The government said we're at the front of the queue. You know, well, it turns out we bet on the wrong horse. You know, have we been caught with our pants down, basically, because countries like the US and UK, which had four or five or six options, are rolling out very, very quickly?
Well, I don't accept that characterisation at all, Fran. And we do have a number of different options. We obviously have...
Well, we've got two, isn't available for under 50s.
Well, no. So in terms of yes, we've got Pfizer, an extra 20 million, so 40 million Pfizer doses. AstraZeneca will continue to be rolled out for over 50s. We also have other options coming forward with the likes of Novavax. So we have contracted to a number of different options. We've got our sovereign capability. We're contracting to Pfizer. Yes, there was a setback in terms of the advice, and we take the advice very, very seriously. And because we're in a position where we don't have large numbers of COVID cases, as most countries in the world do, there is that ability to be extra cautious in that recommendation. And right on the back of that, an extra 20 million Pfizer doses, okay, of course, and other doses will be coming as well.
Let's go to the Pacific. You're very involved in Australia stepping up to provide emergency vaccines over there. We've already sent one shipment of 8,500 doses for frontline health workers. How soon will the supply of 10,000 shots a week be available?
Well, that will be ramping up in coming days and weeks, and it is a very, very important support package for Papua New Guinea in particular, which is facing a serious challenge. So the 8,400 odd doses that have already been delivered to Papua New Guinea, and then we've committed to an additional 10,000 a week with the opportunity to potentially ramp that up, starting with PNG and Timor-Leste. But I'd make this point also, we've also contributed to the COVAX facility, and we anticipate over 130,000 doses will be coming to PNG through that facility. We anticipate this week in the coming days. So there are many doses coming to the people of PNG. We're going to stand with them and support them. We've got our AusMat team on the ground. We are helping them to ramp up in all sorts of ways, as we have been right throughout this crisis. So there are many, many doses coming directly from Australia and also through other organisations that we support, because we want to make sure that the people of Papua New Guinea can get this under control. But this support didn't start this week, or won't support start next week. This has been right throughout the COVID period, where we've delivered around $62 million in health support, and we've committed to a full rollout of the vaccine in PNG.
In terms of what we're sending to PNG and what we were discussing in terms of Australia, as I understand it, the 10,000 a week we're talking about is the AstraZeneca vaccine that's manufactured by CSL in Melbourne. That's what we'll be sending by and large. PNG is a young country. Its median age is in its early 20s. Is it responsible to be distributing that vaccine there, given the blood clotting risk, and what's the advice?
Well, the first thing I would say is that the people of Papua New Guinea and their government will make these decisions. And I understand Jelta Wong, their health minister, has indicated that the rollout of AstraZeneca will continue. The point to make here, as individual countries make their decisions, as they have right around the world, is each of them look at their risk profile. With the AstraZeneca, which is safe and has been reaffirmed, but of course that risk of 4 to 6 in 1 million of clotting had to be judged in Australia against the fact that we have alternatives in Pfizer, that we don't have a significant outbreak of COVID. Other countries such as PNG will make potentially different assessments based on the amount of COVID that they have there. There are over 8,000 cases in PNG at the moment, and also obviously looking at what alternatives there are. So it is a very safe vaccine. The Australian government, on the basis of advice, has made the very cautious decision to say, well, we do have alternatives. We don't have significant outbreak of COVID in Australia at the moment, but other countries will make different decisions.
And this is finally on another issue on offshore processing. The Guardian's been reporting that the government's paid a Brisbane company called Canstruct $1.4 billion over the past 5 years to run the asylum seeker centre on Nauru. That works out about $10,000 a day for each of the 115 people still held on the island. How is that in any way value for taxpayers?
Well, Fran, I'm sorry, I just haven't seen that report, so it's difficult for me to...
Well, you'd be aware, I presume, would you, of the contracts that are in place?
I'm not aware of that detail, Fran, so I'm sorry I can't give detailed comment, other than to say that our processes when it comes to offshore processing and our overall border protection regime has seen the people smugglers trade completely destroyed. That's something we want to see continue, but in terms of that kind of detail, I just haven't seen the report.
All right, Minister, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Zed Sajelja is Minister for International Development in the Pacific, and that story from The Guardian also notes that, of course, those people have been stranded on Nauru for 7 years, and it turns out there's a company that keeps just winning the contract and has won it 7 times, and it's hugely, hugely lucrative for them.